How many of you know sometimes you need to see the sequence of learning? It's actually really quite important. You know, that's a little bit like reading the index of the book and seeing where it's going, where it will go, et cetera, and reading the chapters. And, you know, it does help because we then get to join the dots. Chunking information. I believe the Lord is into chunking information for us. And we're moving on today. But if we recap our sequence through this last half of the year, I believe, we would see that the Lord had a plan and that the Lord's moving through that plan and bringing a message to us. The Sunday messages followed a certain track, very clear. We spent actually 10 weeks on the subject of love and just how love works in our lives and how we're to work love in our lives. And I believe that's a very important area for any congregation, any church that gathers together, because you know what happens when two people gather together. There's going to be a rubbing of the flesh. There's going to be a rubbing of the fur, I should say, you know, sometimes the wrong way, a crossing of the grain, you know. And so it's really important that we spent that time, I believe, looking at the way that love works and the way that God wants us to walk in love together and be a people that are about the business of his love in our lives. And of course, you know, it's very important that we got into that. And of course, what's the connection we might ask to the current series? This simply is that faith works by what? Love. Faith works by love. And of course, we've been seeing that, looking at that. Mark 11:24 makes that very clear to us. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, wow, this is good for all of us. It's good for all of us all the time, isn't it? If anyone has anything against anyone, forgive him. That's something you do, not what they do. That's something that you do. And if we all did it, we wouldn't have any problem, really, would we? Come on, talking real loud now here for you all. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. In other words, if you need to forgive, God knows that you need to be forgiven as well. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So we're, you know, as the meme says there, we're forgiven, but we're also empowered to forgive and to forgive others who trespass against us. You know, people that do us wrong, and we've all had that. We all experience that. But, you know, faith is such a big subject. We should see that the last few weeks the Lord has wanted us to, I believe, see that the just shall live by faith. It's something that we live by. It's not just something that we have on Sunday. I have a faith, so therefore I go to church on Sunday. It's bigger than that. The just shall live by faith, the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says it three times, that the just shall live by faith. And we need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that faith saves us. Spent a little bit of time, just really felt the Lord just sort of pull me back into that truth, just so that we could get that really clear, that it's our faith that saves us. And that we're saved by grace through faith, and so glad that it's not saved by grace through works. Who's glad that it's not saved by grace through works? I'm glad. I'm busy enough. That's the best way I can put it. I'm busy enough. And probably you are as well. Hallelujah. But of course, there's a great scripture there in Ephesians 2:8 and verse 9. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So in other words, we've got nothing to boast about. We're joking before in the prayer meeting, if you ever do find a perfect church, don't join it. All right, you know why? Because it won't be perfect anymore. And that is very true for all of us, isn't it? You know, if you ever find the perfect church. So we all have these areas and we all need to work through. But a big takeaway for all of us over the last few weeks, as we looked at the righteousness of faith, and that's what we're looking at for the last two or three weeks, go back in the podcast, the righteousness of faith is that we are not saved by our works. That's the takeaway. And it's a big point. Our righteousness, our right standing with God is a gift from him. We will never earn it, never be good enough to stand up and say, well, I put a big dent in it, you know, at least, you know, I've been doing really good at this, you know, I got 99.9% of the way there, but unfortunately you won't get 100% of the way there, you know, no matter how good you are. It's a gift from him. It's not something that we can earn or something that we can work for. And you know, one of those scriptures that we looked at, and we saw how that it was actually Abraham, even before Moses, who gave the law, was born, Abraham that actually walked in righteousness by faith. And we saw that. And we see again the Apostle Paul talking about it in Galatians 3. And again, if you're wanting to just refresh yourself with this wonderful gift of righteousness, read Romans chapter 3 and also Galatians chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3. Great scriptures around this subject. But Galatians 3 says, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, that's us, unless you're Jewish today, that's all of us. He's going to justify the Gentiles by faith. Preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Yeah, so in other words, in you all the nations, not just the Jewish nation that was going to come out of Abraham, but all the nations were going to be blessed. What boy? By faith, the righteousness that comes by faith. So stay with me today. In verse 9 it says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Good news. So the righteousness of faith is not a result of our good works, but it should result in good works. And I just want to get onto this part too. It should result in good works because he has created us for good works. You know, fulfilling his will for our lives, aligning our lives with his will, and walking in the spirit, not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. These are the good works that we're called to. A lot of people will talk about how there's a struggle with sin. I want to talk about how to overcome that very quickly, very easily. If you will just concentrate on walking in the spirit, the Bible says will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's a simple truth. Just keep walking in the spirit. You know, if you fall down, what do? You stay there, right? No, you get up. And of course, we've been given the grace to get up because God's forgiven us. He's washed us. He's cleansed us. And if we do make a mess of it, and I don't know anyone in the room who hasn't, we're all in the same boat. What do? You get up, brush yourself off, ask the Lord to forgive you, you know, wash you, cleanse you. The Bible says that he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness. 1 John 3:8-9. We can just get on, and he forgive. And he's, what does it say? He's just and righteous. Amen. To forgive us and faithful. Amen. And he's created us for these good works. But just understand that these good works will never justify us in his sight. If you're looking for those good works to be the thing that you can hold up and say, I made it, I did it, I was that good. You know, God's saying, sorry, it's through Jesus and Jesus alone. And we got that truth in our hearts. It'll do us well. And particularly if we're learning to walk in the Spirit. You know, just keep following after the Spirit. Because what happens, it vanquishes what the enemy can do through the flesh. Just vanquishes it. It just leaves it behind. We just keep walking in the Spirit. You know, just keep looking to the Lord and walking in the Spirit. And we'll see. Now, last week, we saw how Jesus spoke by way of parable about the way that righteousness is like a wedding garment that the wedding host supplies. And we saw from Matthew 22 that the wedding garment is not because we've been real good lately, okay, that we deserve that, but we should now understand that the wedding garment speaks of the Lord giving us a gift, not something that we can earn, but he gave us this gift. And you cannot come into a marriage supper of the Lamb without the robe of righteousness. If you remember from last week, you go look at those passages in Matthew chapter 22 is what we're looking at. And just in Matthew 22 and verse 11, it says, but when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on the wedding garment. And so he said to them, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Again, what's it talking about? It's talking about the robe of righteousness that the Lord gives us. We don't earn that. It's a gift. So there's no other way into the kingdom except by our faith in that substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary, where he paid finally the sins of mankind. Paid for. All done. All finished. He is the door, not the law. I know that rhymes a little bit, but it's a good one to remember. He is the door, not the law. And that's one that you can just tuck away in your heart and remind yourself with. Jesus said it in John 10 and verse 9. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And I want to really move on in this series now to this bit about finding pasture. Finding, you know, the good green grass, if you like. If the Lord is our shepherd, he wants to lead us into green pastures. Amen? And you and I who have known the Lord for some time know that that's what he does. He leads us into green pastures. He's a God that wants to bless his kids. He's a God that wants to see us overcoming in life. And sometimes it's via the mess. How many of you know that sometimes it's through the mess that we get a message? And it's through the test that we get the testimony. It's not the way we would go, actually. If we were being able to choose for ourselves, we'd say, no, Lord, I don't want to go that way. But so often we find ourselves going that way, and he takes the test and he turns it into a testimony. I didn't want to have that car crash a week after, you know, our wedding, you know, the week after we got back from the day after we got back from our honeymoon. I didn't want to have the car crash and get carted off in an ambulance, and didn't want that. If the Lord had said, look, I'm going to bless you, but this is the way we're going to go, I would say, oh, please, not that way, Lord. But, you know, the funny thing was, is that that night we were both in church. That night we were up and about. And it was the funniest thing, is because we were both. Rosemary had this bruise on her buttock. I'm glad she's not here to hear me talking about it, but it was huge buttock bruise from where she had spun around in the car as we collided, and actually hit her on the buttock. And then, you know, but both cars were written off. But the funny thing was, we went to church that night, and they had a guest speaker in town. And he was really big on prophetic acts. And he wanted us to get up and walk around the church seven times. We were, you know, going to do this prophetic act no matter what. But I tell you, we could have quite easily still been in hospital, you know what I mean? But the Lord's hand was on it. And sometimes he takes us through a mess to get us to the point where we have a message. And that's a truth we should appreciate and understand about the Lord. So, you know, faith is a key that brings us through the door. But it's also the key that brings us into the pasture where the green grass is. So be happy with the green grass, and know that the Lord wants you to feed on that. Where he leads us, where he guides and directs us in his paths. That's the way of his word in our lives. Let's just back up a little bit in Galatians from where we were just a few moments ago, and see a verse, I believe, that takes us into where he wants us to go. Galatians 3 verse 5, it says this, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it? This is the question. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Good question already too, because it's not there. Okay, I'll just go to another scripture so you're not looking at it. I'll just listen in. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The hearing of faith. Everyone's got the right answer. That's good. We're all in agreement. You see, it's a verse that tells us how to live in the Lord's pasture. It lets us know that he supplies the Spirit to us and works miracles among us. How many of you know he's doing it all the time? We don't always see it, but he's doing it all the time, working miracles among us. He does that by method. He does that by pattern. And now the first question we should answer is this: who supplies the Spirit? Who's supplying the Spirit? God is. And I brought that scripture up early. 1 John 4:13 says this, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he's given us of his Spirit. So who supplies the Spirit? God does. God supplies the Spirit. Paul has to be talking about a heavenly Father, right? Absolutely. And here comes another question that we must all answer. Does God supply the Spirit and demonstrate his power among us by the hearing of faith or because of the works of the law? The hearing of faith. Well, if we're hearing faith, where's that coming from? Well, this is where it gets really interesting. So what is the hearing of faith? It's not multi-choice here. It's not door A or door B, okay? We have to understand what the hearing of faith. We already know that the Lord is building nothing through the works of the law. So the right answer must be that the supply of God's Spirit and the power of God is dispensed among us by the hearing of faith. Who's got faith today? Let me just put it to you this way. We've got a few hands going up. If I was to ask Rach is easy to ask here because she's on the front row. How do I know that you've got faith? Time's up. How do I know that you've got faith? All right. Because of love. Like that fits in. Jess, how do I know you've got faith? How do I know you've got faith? Being in the Word of God. How do I know that you've got faith, Greg? It's a good one, isn't it? Or we're just talking about it right there. It's in that passage of Scripture. Through the hearing of faith. How does faith come? By hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. How does faith get released? With your words, with your speaking, with your saying, with your praying. That's how your faith gets released up. And he that works, and read this again, he that works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So it's that, you know, God's hearing our faith. He's not doing it because of the works of the law. He's hearing our faith. So this gets us back to this place where we realize that what's the Lord looking for is people who are speaking out their faith, saying, praying, decreeing, declaring. I'm sorry, these guys will never sit on the front row again. I'm sure of it now. But I just really want to get that point across here. The Lord does and supplies his Spirit and works miracles among us by a method, by a pattern. And it's by the hearing of faith. Our faith, as we voice it. You know, our faith should not leave us silent and quiet. Our faith should have a voice. It should have words being spoken. It should be his word being spoken out of our lives. You know, it's a verse that tells us how to live in the Lord's pasture. Amen. We're called to live that way. Faith has a sound. Faith has a voice. Our Father God responds to faith that he hears. Amen. Our Father God is responding to faith, and he does. I love the accounts, you know, in the Gospels where Jesus' response to needs is based on his and him hearing faith. And we can see that in the Scriptures. We need to see that the pattern for the power of God to be present and the flow into our situations and our circumstances, that's never changed. It's always been the same. It's still with us today. It's through the hearing of faith. And some people want to make it up based on que sera, sera, whatever the Lord's will is. Some people want to, you know, sort of lean over to that side of what is quietly unbelief in my concern, you know, because we're just not believing anything. We're just sort of saying, well, the Lord knows. But, you know, he's given us his word for a reason. He's given us his word so that we can speak it, we could say it, because he who supplies the Spirit and works miracles among you does it by what? The hearing of faith. Amen. Just a little bit of teaching here today. I hope you don't mind, but we want to make sure we understand. Let's see a good example from Mark chapter 5. Now, when Jesus had crossed again, this is verse 21, had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." Can you imagine a more serious moment than having your child ill that needs a miracle? Particularly in those days, you couldn't race off to the local general hospital or anything like that. And this is a real critical moment. "Come and lay hands on her that she may be healed." What's Jesus hearing? Faith. He's hearing faith. He's seeing the desperation, but he's hearing faith. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Here is Jesus. I mean, we have to see faith has a voice. Faith speaks and is heard in heaven. Amen. It's the way that it works. Grace responds to faith. It's how you got saved. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 says, "Now a certain woman had a..." This is a busy day in the office for Jesus, okay? He's going off with Jairus, and up comes this woman. A woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. Quacks, I think they call them, you know? Probably with a lot of quacks around that thought they could take a little bit of money from her and give her a pill or a concoction or a potion, but none of it worked. And she'd spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said... What has faith got? Words, voice, it's a sound. "For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Wow. What a bold woman. You know, sometimes we have to be bold even just to speak, because we're surrounded sometimes by unbelief and a lot of people saying something contrary, something that's not according to the word. But we have to speak what the word says. We have to say what God says. And again, Jesus is again hearing faith. First of all from Jairus, and now he's hearing it from the little woman. Why did she push through the crowd? Because she was saying something, you know. And her faith had a voice. It's so important that we don't get cut off from our miracle by expressing and saying doubt and unbelief. Watch your words. I say it often. One of the first things I learned in my Christian journey was to shut up, because I wasn't saying anything real good. I wasn't really saying anything that generated a good response from heaven. You know, I had that still a lot of doubt and unbelief in my life. I had to change. I had to shift that. I had to get that out of my life so that when I opened my mouth, what I was speaking was life, not death. Very important. And look what it says. "And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" Wow. "But his disciples said to him," as they would, "You see the multitude thronging you and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And the disciples are saying, "Everyone's touching you, Jesus. Everyone's trying to grab you. What do you mean, who touched you?" But Jesus points out something that, you know, the sheep of his pasture should know. His anointing is tangible. You know, it's felt. The supernatural and the release of the supernatural is felt in the natural. You know, we have to believe and understand that the anointing of God's grace, okay, is something that we can feel and know in the natural. Even though it's a supernatural substance, we can know and feel that anointing. You know, when people come in, and so often we have to give them tissues before they even get to sit down, because the Spirit of God's here, and the Spirit of God's touching hearts and lives. And that's something tangible in the natural. When you start to get tears coming down your eyes and you don't even know why. Who's been there? Yeah, that's right. It's tangible in the natural. And Jesus could feel it. He could feel that the anointing went out from him. Boom. She comes up, grabs that hem of his garment, and boom, he felt the release and said, "Who touched me?" The difference was is that she touched him saying something, as we should. We should be touching heaven, saying something of faith, saying what the word says, and see that, see the result of his anointing in our lives, the power being released. And it says, and he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed by your affliction, or of your affliction. Notice he didn't sort of say, well, I'm the Son of God, and, well, miracles just happen when people touch me. He taught, he used the situation to teach something that we all should get and gain a hold of, is that faith brings the power of God into the situation. That's the pasture we're called to. That's the place where God wants us to live. And it is the same today. Many come near to God. Many come. You know, people can get caught up in the religion and not in the power and miss what God intended for his people. Many draw close to God and acknowledge, even acknowledge who he is. But if we're going to live in victory and be the sheep of his pasture and receive the supply of his miraculous, we're going to have to be the ones that come with that voice of faith. And even if it's quietly in your heart, you know, just speaking that word, saying that word from the quietness of your heart, it's still the voice of faith. Okay? It's still speaking what, you know, the promises and what the Word of God says. Praise the Lord. I really want, probably more than anything, is for a people of God to get a hold of some of these truths and actually start walking in them and seeing the fruit in their own lives. I guess the best way to put it is that it makes it so much easier when people are actually going to the great shepherd and receiving from him than trying to be the man in the middle. You know, as a pastor, I'm speaking just as a pastor. People have that direct relationship with God. I tell you, it makes you busy for him. When you start to see your test get turned into a testimony, when you start to see your mess become a message, you know, that is something that becomes really quite powerful for all of us, and important for all of us, is that we then start to work and function and operate as he leads us and guides us. Amen? Praise the Lord.